This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
All right, so here is the title of our message this morning. We are titling this message, The Law Written on Our Hearts, colon, notice, not the Ten Commandments. I know that in Christendom, I know that many believers think that when they see that portion of Scripture where it says that the law of God was written in our hearts, that He writes it on our hearts, many think that it's talking about the Ten Commandments, the law of God, the Torah, the 10 plus the 603 around it, making it a total of 613. And so they think that is what God has written in our hearts, on our hearts. And so they think that instinctively, this is why they know the law of God. But then yet, when you ask somebody, okay, so what is the third commandment? What is the seventh commandment? What is the 10th commandment? People can't tell you. Most people can probably tell you the first, thou shalt have no other gods. They can probably come up and say, you know, love your neighbor, which is, you know, when you look at it, the 10 commandments, it's a different story. And so if God had written, or if God writes the 10 commandments, the Torah, the law, if He writes His actual old covenant law in our hearts, then, and just hear me out, don't switch me off, then He's done a bad job in writing it in our hearts, because most of us don't even know what it says. How many of us know all the rituals? How many of us know all the civil, you know, the aspects of the law? And I know people divide it into, you know, the civil, the moral, and the ritual law. But God doesn't do that. To Him, His law is His law. It's the entire thing. And James says that if we break one, we're guilty of breaking it all. And so if God had written, if it was true that God had written the Ten Commandments in our heart, then number one, as I said, with all due respect, He's done a bad job of it. And number two, we then do a bad job of drawing it from our hearts, because very few people that I know can actually live by the law of God and do live by the law of God. Amen. And so we have to study that, and that's what we're going to do in this series. We are going to study to see what is it actually that God wrote on our hearts when we receive salvation in Jesus. And I'm going to show you how it is not the Ten Commandments. It is not the Torah. And so I'm going to give you scriptural proof. And this is not because I am trying to come against anybody or trying to be controversial or anything like that. No, I want to share gospel truth with you so that we can live in the freedom of truth, gospel truth. Amen. So that we can be educated, informed, and aware of what God actually wrote and writes on our hearts, and then how it impacts us and what He wants us to do with it. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, that's what we want. That's more practical. That makes more sense. And so that's what we're going to do. And so, you know, I've heard things like this, for example. I've heard people say this to me, and I've heard them say it publicly from, you know, their preaching platforms. I've heard them say that even though we are no longer under law, but we are under grace, yet God still expects us to keep the Ten Commandments, which is the reason why God wrote it in our hearts. So they make the assumption that it's the Ten Commandments that God wrote on our hearts. Even though they can't memorize them, they can't tell you what they are, very few people do. And those that do have intellectually memorized it. It doesn't come from the heart necessarily. And so, but that's what they say. So in other words, yes, you may be under grace. You may be a new covenant believer, but God still expects you to keep the Ten Commandments because that's, or should I say, at least that's why He wrote them on your heart. And so they cite to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33 when they do that. So let's take a look at Jeremiah 31 verse 33 from the King James. Watch what it says. This is God speaking to the people, and prophetically He's speaking about our time and, you know, new covenant time and all that in a way. But we're going to clarify all that. He says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. In other words, with the Jewish people. After those days, say the Lord. He says, I will put, watch this, my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, leaving it there for a moment, I want to point out to you that God is speaking here prophetically through the prophet Jeremiah about New Covenant times. And Jeremiah, obviously, who writes this inspired by the Holy Spirit, he writes to the best of his knowledge. And he takes it to say that God is saying, I will put my law, and most people, because it says that, most people assume that he's talking about the Ten Commandments. And so they take it to say that God is saying that he's going to put the Ten Commandments in our hearts, in our inward parts. He's going to write it in there, and so that we can be better devoted to him. So this is where that whole belief, that whole confusion, if you will, that whole misunderstanding comes from. And so that's one of the things we need to clarify, which we will. Now, one thing too that we need to be very clear about, and we need to make sure that we understand and remind ourselves of, is that the new covenant is not an improved version of the old. Because if it were, then Jeremiah and how people understand what Jeremiah said is right. But we know, and those of you who have been around our teaching long enough, you will know that the new covenant is not an improved version of the old. It is an entirely new covenant. It is an entirely new way of relating to God. The way people used to relate to God under the old covenant is not the same as the way people should relate to God by the new covenant. But when people think that it's his law, his Ten Commandments that he wrote on their hearts, then they will hang on to the old and they will say, see, this is why the new covenant is an improvement of the old. Because now it's in our hearts, now we have the Holy Spirit, now we have grace so we can do a better job. And that's actually very erroneous. That's not scripturally correct. So then we go to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13. It actually shows us what I just said. And what I just said is that the new covenant is not an improved version of the old. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 13 from the Amplified Translation. It says, when God speaks of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. Notice, obsolete means canceled out, basically, right? So he doesn't make it better. He doesn't improve it. He doesn't give us a better version. What he does with the old covenant is he makes it obsolete so that he can replace it, so he can bring in a new covenant. Then it says, and whatever is becoming obsolete, in other words, out of use, annulled, which is very correct from the original, and growing old, is ready to disappear. So notice the words that I've emboldened in that portion. As far as what God himself, through Hebrews, through the writer of Hebrews, said about the old covenant. Firstly, he said that when the new covenant is introduced, the old covenant will become obsolete. In other words, out of use, annulled, and it will disappear. So that portion right there shows us very clearly and very specifically that the new covenant is not an improved version of the old covenant. It actually is a brand new covenant all on its own. And God removes and does away with the old covenant. In other words, with the old way of relating to him. Amen. So that's very powerful. So then we need to ask the question, then why would God write something obsolete, out of use, and annulled in our hearts? Wouldn't you ask yourself that? If you read Hebrews 8:13 as we just read it, wouldn't your first question be, okay, so if he's made it obsolete, out of use, and annulled, why would I think he's going to write that in my heart? Why would I have something obsolete, annulled, and, you know, out of use? I mean, it would be like someone basically, you know, taking their wallet and let's just say that a government decided to replace currency with a totally different form of currency. God says he made the old covenant obsolete, out of use, annulled. So then the question has to be, why would he write that in our hearts? Let's take a look at Jeremiah 31, and this time let's read verse 31 and 32, which gives us the context of what we read earlier. Okay, so again, we're reading this from the Amplified Translation. And so here it comes, Jeremiah 31, verse 31 and 32. God says there, through the prophet Jeremiah, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." Notice, a brand new covenant with the house of Israel, the northern kingdom, and with the house of Judah, the southern kingdom. In other words, the entire nation of Israel, all the Jewish people. He says, watch this now in verse 32. Watch what I've made a different color and emboldened. Not like, the King James says, not according to. In other words, this is nothing like the old covenant. This is not according to the old covenant. In other words, this is a completely different way of relating to God. He says, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and to bring them out of the land of Egypt. In other words, the old covenant. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. So what I want to highlight to you here in this portion is the fact that it says that the new covenant is nothing like. It is not like. It is not according to the old covenant. And so the old covenant, as we know, was based on God's law, which is the basis of the law is the Ten Commandments. Then there are another 603 around the Ten, making it a total of 613. But the basis, the foundation of God's law, are the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments were given when the Old Covenant was given. And those are the conditions how people would relate to God. If they fulfilled the covenant, the commandments, then they were blessed. If they broke them, they were cursed. To be cursed means to have the absence of the blessing. And so that's how that worked. Now the new covenant, he says, it's not like that. It's nothing like that. So why would we think that that's what God writes on our hearts? Clearly, we see that he writes something else on our hearts. And so when we think about the new covenant is based on Jesus and the finished work of the cross. Or you could say it is based on redemption in Jesus, not the law. The law could never redeem anybody. So why would God write something that can never redeem us? Amen. And so the old covenant, as we know, and as we've seen a little bit, was written on stone. The new covenant is written on our hearts. So the answer, the short answer, part of the answer is that, yes, God does write something on our hearts, but he definitely doesn't write the Ten Commandments or the Old Covenant law in our hearts. But he does write something in our hearts. Amen? And that's what we're going to see today. So whatever it is that God writes on our hearts, it cannot be the same as the law written on stone. Would you agree? I hope you do, because I've shown you that so far. Why? Because he said the new covenant would not be according to or like the old covenant. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11. This is now talking about the old covenant. And watch what the powerful things that we see about it, specifically in relation to what we are studying today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11. Watch this. Talking about the old covenant, okay? It says, now, if the ministry of death, so notice the old covenant is ministers death. In other words, separation from God. Why would God write that on our hearts? So basically, whatever, if it was the Ten Commandments that he wrote on our hearts, what it's going to do is it's going to help us be separated from God. Why would he put that in our hearts? Makes no sense, right? It says, engraved in letters of stone, so now you know he's talking about the Ten Commandments, the covenant of the law which led to death because of sin, came with such glory and splendor that the Israelites were not able to look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, a brilliance that was fading. How will the ministry of the Spirit, so look at that now, the old covenant ministers death. Why? Because it shows you your imperfection. You can never be perfect. So it basically shows you how you will continuously be separated from God if you try and live up to his perfect standard as an imperfect person. Whereas the new covenant will minister the Spirit to you. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Notice it's a capital S, which says then, the new covenant, which allows us to be Spirit-filled, failed to be even more glorious and splendid. So we can conclude from that, that the old covenant ministers death. In other words, separation from God. Why? Because it shows you your sin. You cannot redeem yourself, no matter how hard you try and fulfill the law. And so it will always just continuously show you how separated you are and separate you more and more. Whereas the new covenant is ministered to by the Holy Spirit directly. And of course, when you look at it in context, it obviously ministers life to you. In other words, it ministers relationship, better relationship, more relationship between you and God. So it draws you nearer to God. Why? Because it shows you how in and through Jesus, you are forgiven of all of your sin. So the thing that would the law would show you and used to separate you from God, what Jesus did is he took care of it, took the punishment, and thus allowed you and me to enjoy a close, perfect relationship with God. Amen. So that's the first thing that we see here. Then it goes on in verse 9 through 11, and it says, talking again about the old covenant and new covenant here, okay? He says, for if the ministry that brings condemnation, so now that's the second aspect that we see here about the law, about the Ten Commandments. What they are going to do is they're going to minister condemnation to you. They're always going to make you feel guilt, shame, and condemnation. Why? Because it's going to show you how in and of yourself you can never and will never measure up to God's perfect standard. Then it says, how much more does glory overflow in the ministry, watch this, that brings righteousness. In other words, right standing with God. Then it says, the new covenant, which declares believers free of guilt and sets them apart for God's special purpose. So you see there that the law ministers condemnation, whereas grace, the new covenant, ministers righteousness. Why? Because it shows you that Jesus took your place. He died for you and as you, therefore making you righteous as a new creation, as a believer, and therefore minister righteousness to you. And so you know that you have that because of Jesus. Then it says in verse 10, indeed, now talking again about the old, what had glory, see, it no longer has that glory. The law, in this case, watches, no longer has glory because of the glory that surpasses it, the gospel. In other words, the new covenant or grace, you could say. For if that law which fades away came with glory, how much more the gospel which remains and is permanent. See, the gospel is staying, grace is staying, and it's permanent, abide in glory and splendor. That is a loaded, powerful portion of scripture. And so what we see there is that what it tells us is that the old covenant ministers death and condemnation. So my question again to you is, why would God write the commandments that make you feel condemned and bring separation between you and God? Why would he write that on your heart? Why would he want to be separated from you? Why would he want you to walk around with guilt, shame, and condemnation all the time? From the heart. It makes no sense, right? You see, scripturally speaking, it doesn't make sense. But what does the new covenant do, as we've just seen in that portion? The new covenant ministers life through the Holy Spirit. In other words, how you do have a relationship with God in spite of your sin, despite of your sin, because Jesus took care of that at the cross. So it ministers life to you, and it ministers righteousness. In other words, right standing between you and God. Amen. The Holy Spirit does that. So why do we think he would write the Ten Commandments on our heart? Why would we say, you know, he wants me to live up to the Ten Commandments when no one could? Amen. Except for Jesus, because he was perfect. And so the old covenant, as we've seen too in that portion, was temporal. And it was set to expire, correct? The new covenant is permanent and never expires. Didn't it say that? Of course. So why would God write something that is temporal and that will expire in our hearts? No, he didn't write the law in our hearts. So the Ten Commandments were glorious, absolutely. But their glory faded and passed away, it says. So what remains is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus within us, and he fulfills life and righteousness in us, the life of God. Amen. I mean, which would you rather have? Would you rather have the Ten Commandments, the law, the Torah in your heart? Or would you rather have the Spirit of God who ministers life, peace, and righteousness to you? Come on now. Let's have a look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Watch what it says here. It says, why then the law? Yeah, that's a good question. What was its purpose? It was added after the promise to Abraham to reveal to people their guilt. See, that's the purpose of the law. It's to reveal our guilt and our need for Jesus, for salvation. Because of transgressions, that is, to make people conscious of the sinfulness of sin. And the law was ordained through angels and delivered to Israel by the hand of a mediator, Moses. The mediator being between God and Israel to be in effect. Now watch this. Watch what I've emboldened and what it says about the law there. It says, until the seed, capital S, so it's talking about Jesus, until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. So in other words, what God is saying in that portion of scripture right there, he is showing us that he gave the law. It was a glorious thing because it's his law, but it was said to expire and it was said to be in effect only until Jesus would come and redeem us. Once he came to redeem us, it would be over. It would no longer be necessary because now true redemption has come, but the law still helps us see our need for Jesus. Amen. So why would he write that in our hearts? Why would he want us to continuously walk around with guilt, shame, condemnation, feeling separated from him, feeling like we always need redemption and never really receiving that redemption? It makes no sense. So anybody who teaches that, who says that, clearly lacks revelation and understanding of Scripture. And I say that with all due respect. I was there once too. So I don't think I'm better than anybody else at all. And so relating to God by law, or should we say the Ten Commandments, was never intended to be a permanent arrangement. Didn't we see that in all the portions we've read so far? Relating to God by law, the Ten Commandments, was never intended to be a permanent arrangement. Amen. I mean, to give an illustration, because, you know, when I was putting this together, I was thinking, It kind of reminds me of Helene and I raising Gabby, our daughter, or Cass, as she goes by these days. Raising her. I mean, when she was little, when she was a toddler, when she was a child, and even when she was a tween and to a degree 18. What we did is we taught and trained her with rules and regulations. In other words, baby, don't do that. It's going to harm you. That's not a good thing to do. This is a good thing to do. We gave her rules and regulations and methods and formulas and different ways of conducting herself, of responding to things, of living life. We taught her moral ethics. We taught her, you know, to be conscious of certain things. We did all that. But now that she's become an adult and she's stepping more and more into adulthood, we can no longer do that. To a degree, we no longer need to do that. Why? Because she has now learned to trust her own instinct, her own conscience, and her own inner person, the Holy Spirit, I'd like to think. And so she now has to step into the journey on her own. So we can try and impose rules on her. We can try and impose regulations and try and treat her like we used to treat her as a child. You and I both know that's not going to work, because now she's a grown-up. She's a grown-up person. She finally has to take the wheel, or she has to ask Jesus to take the wheel. But mom and dad can no longer take the wheel all the time, right? She won't let us, because she shouldn't, because she needs to learn to be self-sufficient. And so when you think about that, that's exactly how the relationship is between the Ten Commandments, God's law, and grace. You see, God's law, God puts that in our lives to give us rules, regulations, to show us what His standard is, what the standard of morality is, what the standard of godliness is. But once we understand and we let the law show us enough of that, then God brings in grace, redemption in Jesus. Now we have to follow the inner man, the Spirit in us. That's why He comes in us, so that we can be led by the Spirit of God, so that we can live by what He has truly written on our hearts. Amen. That's one way you can illustrate that. So then, obviously, the question will be asked, what law then does God write on our hearts? Because He did say in Jeremiah and through Jeremiah that He will write His law in our hearts. So then we have to ask, okay, if it's not the Ten Commandments, if it's not the Torah, if it's not the 613 laws, which we know it isn't, and I've just reasoned with you with Scripture why it's not that, then we have to ask, what is it then that God writes in our hearts? What law? Because He said it's law. Well, let's have a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. This is going to help us see the answer, and then I'll share some other things with you as well. It says there, therefore there is now no condemnation, no guilt, verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because there's no more law to make them feel that way, right? Who believe in Him as personal Lord and Savior. Watch us, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, watch us, the law of our new being, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so watch the portions that I've emboldened there. Because remember, we're answering the question, what law then has God written in our hearts? Right here, we have some of the answer. Clearly, He's written the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So in other words, one of the laws that God has written in our hearts is how for us to understand that we have life in Jesus. Amen? That's a law. And then it tells and explains to us that it's the law of our new being. In other words, we are born again. We're not who we were in fallen Adam. We have a new identity in Jesus. That's a law that God has written in our hearts. And then it says, those laws have set us free from the law of sin and death. Well, what were the laws of sin and death? The old covenant law. Amen? Now, let's carry on reading. Verse 3. For what the law could not do. See, the old covenant law could never do this. That is, overcome sin and remove its penalty, its power, being weakened by the flesh, man's nature, without the Holy Spirit. In other words, the law couldn't do this because people were imperfect and they couldn't live up to a perfect law, a perfect standard. He says, God did. He did it himself through Jesus. We could never do it. He did. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, and overcame it in the person of his own Son. You see, God sent Jesus to redeem us. Then it says in verse 4, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law, watch this next part, might be fulfilled. What does it say? In us. Notice it doesn't say by us. It says it's fulfilled in us. By who? By Jesus. Not by us. So God never expects us to fulfill the law because he knows we cannot. That's why he fulfilled the law for us in Jesus, right? Who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by worldliness and sinful nature, but our lives in the ways of the Spirit, guided by his power. In other words, those who relate to God by grace, not by law. And so right there, we see some of the laws that God has written in our hearts. What laws that he writes in our hearts? The law of the Spirit of life. That's the law that is written in our hearts. We know when we receive salvation in Jesus, we have eternal life. The law of life. We have the life of God. That's a law that is written in our hearts. That's why we have certainty that we have it. Amen. Doesn't that make better sense? I mean, that's what it is. So we don't fulfill the Ten Commandments by trying to keep them because we never can. That's why God had to do it for us in and through Jesus, right? So what are people trying to do fulfilling the Ten Commandments? Because they can't. They cannot, right? You see, the Ten Commandments are fulfilled in us by the Holy Spirit because of Jesus and the finished work of the cross. Can I have an amen from somebody? You see, that's what this is saying to us. So trying to live up to the Ten Commandments doesn't make us righteous. It will never make us righteous because we will never live up to it. Amen. You see, putting our trust and confidence in redemption in Jesus makes us righteous because he did it for us. Amen. So, watch what the writer of Hebrews actually changes when he quotes Jeremiah to help us solidify what I've just shared with you and what I've just shown you about the laws that God writes in our hearts. So what the writer of Hebrews does, and I believe it was Paul, but there's no conclusive evidence. What the writer of Hebrews does is he quotes Jeremiah, what we've seen about Jeremiah, where he said, where he wrote and said, God said he's going to write the law in your hearts. So the writer of Hebrews takes that with the revelation of the new covenant, because Jeremiah didn't have it, and he actually makes the change and modification to help us understand what God was actually talking about when he spoke through Jeremiah and how it's fulfilled in our time. Watch this, Hebrews 8 verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. So he's quoting Jeremiah, but watch how he changes that one word. After those days, says the Lord, and here it is, I will imprint my laws. Notice there's an S to that. Jeremiah said, my law. That's why people thought it's the Ten Commandments. But here, the writer of Hebrews, with greater revelation and understanding and redemption in Jesus, he says, what God actually said is he's going to write his laws in our hearts. Upon their minds, even upon their innermost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts, affecting their regeneration, their birth, new birth experience, in other words. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Isn't that just super powerful? Because what the writer of Hebrews does there is he brings it into the revelation of the new covenant, and he basically gives us the proper way we're supposed to understand that, which is God doesn't write the Ten Commandments in your heart because It's pointless. All it's going to do is separate you from God and make you feel guilt, shame, and condemnation all the time. And that's not what God wants for you. So he took care of it at the cross in through his son Jesus. And now he gives you new laws that he writes in your heart, which is the law that you have life in Jesus. You have eternal life and you have been redeemed in Jesus. You have been given righteousness in Jesus. Those are the laws that he writes in your heart. Isn't that powerful? It's absolutely awesome. And so the writer of Hebrews says laws, not law, right? Let me show you both of those together just to make sure we see that clearly from the King James. There it is, Jeremiah 31, 33. I've just pulled out those portions, okay? Remember in Jeremiah, he said, this is what God said. I will put my law in the inward parts and write it in their hearts. Hebrews quotes it and he gives it to us with New Covenant Revelation. He says, what God actually said is, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. He is not talking about the old covenant law or the Ten Commandments, because I've just shown you how pointless and fruitless that'll be, right? So we see that very clearly there. So again, just as a summary and just as a solidification of what laws God wrote on our hearts, I'm going to give you four different portions of scripture that basically are going to summarize and show you some of the laws, new covenant laws that God has put in our hearts, that he has written on our hearts. And you and I who have received salvation in Jesus will be able to testify to every single one of these as we're listening to this right now. So here it is. The first one is Romans 8 verse 2. Here's a covenant, a new covenant law that God has written in our hearts. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In other words, in Christ Jesus, you have life, eternal life, right? That's a law. Hath made free, me made free from the law of sin and death. That's one law that he writes in our hearts. So you who know that you are saved and you're born again and you receive salvation in Jesus, where does that certainty come from? Have you ever asked yourself that? How do you know that you know? Do you have any proof? No, but I just know it because I believe it. That's a law. It's because it's a law that he's written in your heart for you to know and have that certainty. Isn't that powerful? So that law is working in your heart right now. Praise God. Here's another one. Galatians 6 verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Or you could say, the law of Christian love, because that's what the law of Christ is. It's the law of love. And so that's another law that he's written on our hearts. This is why we who receive salvation in Jesus have this love that we cannot even explain for ourselves. We love people. We feel compassion for people. We love each other. We want to just walk in love and express love, even though we may never have been loving before. All of a sudden, we have this love and this drive for love. Why is that? Because when we receive salvation in Jesus, this is a law that God writes on our hearts. The law of love. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Here's another law that God has written on our hearts. Watch this. Where is boasting then? He says, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? In other words, old covenant law? He says, nay. In other words, no. But by the law of faith. And that's another law, new covenant law, that God writes on our hearts. In other words, the ability to believe, the ability to trust God, even though we haven't seen him, even though we have no tangible physical proof, but we know that we know that we know that God is real, that he's our God, that we are saved. All the believing that comes into effect in our lives as new covenant believers, it all happens because it's a law that God writes on our hearts, a new covenant law. Isn't that awesome? This is why you and me can believe when everybody else thinks we're crazy for believing. It's because that law is working in our hearts. Isn't that awesome? It's powerful. Here's another one, the last one. Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So in other words, if we walk in love, we will actually be fulfilling the old covenant law regardless. Because if you want to sum it up in one thing, the entire law, Torah, the 613 was all about love, loving God, loving people. And so what he says is, if you walk in love, you're doing it anyway, without having to get into the intricacies of it. Why? Because it's a law that he's written in our hearts to walk in love, to love God, and to love one another. Amen. You see, and I've just touched the tip of the iceberg. Those are the laws that God has written in our hearts. So I'm not saying that God's standard has changed. It hasn't. The old covenant law is still the same, and it will always be. But what I am saying is that the way we express it has changed, because now we have the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. We don't express it through a set of rules, but rather through a relationship with God who lives in us. Praise God. The Holy Spirit doesn't make us lawless. He makes us loving, which are the new covenant laws. We've seen that today. So when love fills your heart, you don't need a commandment that says, don't steal that, don't kill, don't hurt someone else. Why? Because love simply wouldn't do that. Isn't that so? So which would you rather have on your heart? The Ten Commandments or the law of love that God has given us? See? External law restrains one temporarily. Internal law transforms one permanently. Isn't that true? You see, as long as people had the old covenant law, it was an external temporal restraint. But once we receive salvation in Jesus, it transforms us from the inside out, and it's permanent. Praise God. We'd rather have that. Amen. So God's Spirit leads us into the same moral excellence the law demanded, but without the bondage of condemnation of trying to keep it for ourselves. Can I say that again? God's Spirit leads us into the same moral excellence the law demanded, but without the bondage and condemnation of trying to keep it for ourselves. Amen. It's powerful, praise God. So let me close by sharing with you a few thoughts and just summarizing what we've seen today, what we've discussed today. The law written on our hearts is not the Ten Commandments, but the nature and life of Jesus. The old law was written on stone. The new law is written on our hearts. We've seen that today. The Ten Commandments minister death. The Spirit ministers life. We don't live without law. We live under a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And I've shown you what that looks like. Amen. Praise God for that. So therefore, righteousness is not achieved, but it's received in Jesus. See, that righteousness then flows, it flows out as love, as holiness, and good works. Not because of the Ten Commandments that are written on our heart, but because we have new laws written in our hearts. Amen. Jesus himself is written in our hearts. I mean, think about before salvation in Jesus. We had an external rule book. Now we have the very author of life living in us, guiding us, reminding us, and empowering us every single day. Amen. Powerful stuff, praise God. You see, when people think that the Ten Commandments is what God has written in our hearts, they end up living half in law, half in grace. They end up mixing law and grace. And you know how destructive that is. I'll share that with our previous series that we just finished. And that always leads to guilt and frustration. And I know because I've been there. But when you realize you're under the Spirit, not the stone tablets, everything changes. You obey God from love, not fear. You do right naturally, not forcefully. God didn't rewrite the old rules in your heart. He rewrote you and made you a new creation in Christ Jesus, with new laws, the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's powerful. You see, you're a new creation filled with His Spirit. The law written in your heart is the life of Jesus Himself, His love, His peace, His righteousness. So when someone says again that the Ten Commandments is what God wrote on your heart, you can just smile and say, no, something far better is, and that's Jesus Christ in me. Amen.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry, or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.